It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard round the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with my co-host, Mark Young. And if you watched the debate, as I did, and as I know my partner did, if the Democrats can't just outright kill you, they will bore you to death because it was the most boring. I mean, and on top of that, the left on Twitter blew up about how boring it was and how boring Joe Biden was a mess. And Elizabeth Warren wasn't far behind him, I didn't think. I can't imagine any one of those people being president of the United States. It just, I can't imagine it.
No one can. I mean, this is the reason why they're chasing President Trump through impeachment.
They wouldn't stand a chance, I wouldn't think.
Because a real presidential election without them stealing the 2016 election will be a slaughter.
I think you're right. And I think they know that full well. So the first and yet everybody, Fox, I mean, all the conservative, there were not many of them, but then Fox is kind of middle of the road, but they are all propping up the Democrats and saying that who's going to do this and who's going to say that. And you're going, who cares? There's nothing substantive about anything they've said to begin with. If they can't kill you, they'll tax you.
First 15 minutes of that debate, mm-hmm. No one made an argument to why they should be the president of the United States.
No, absolutely.
It was only
not.
Why Trump shouldn't be.
They called him a criminal I don't know how many times.
I mean, can you imagine that? Think about this. The criminal in the White House.
Yes. I mean, thank you very much.
That is slanderous. That is libelous. Yeah. You cannot call people a criminal that have not been convicted of a crime.
Well, everyone on that stage multiple times called him a criminal.
Which is just horrible. I mean, why would anyone...
Yeah, they talk about him. I mean, you know, look at yourself.
Well, I'm probably a criminal, too.
No, I'm not talking about you, yourself. I'm talking about the Democrats.
Look oh, but I probably am a criminal, though.
Right.
Well, Trump supporters are all racist and,
well, that's right.
And
yeah, I guess
complicit
we're criminals
in criminals.
By default.
But, yeah, so Biden, so we look at Biden. So what, first off, Biden started
clipping
talking
coupons.
About...
Clipping coupons. Clipping coupons.
Okay, now that's an... Are you familiar with the term clipping coupons?
I'm sorry?
Are you familiar with the term clipping coupons?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's a grocery store and things like that.
No. There is a term within the Wall Street world, which is called clipping coupons.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that. Those Nor do are, I think most Americans are familiar with
that. They're not, because that term goes back to the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Well, so do I, but I'm still not familiar with it.
Yeah, but it's a term from the 70s and 80s, and clipping coupons essentially was a slang term for people who have invested in bonds and they're living off of their coupon, off of their income.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's right there. So it's not so much that he was referencing people actually at the grocery store. A lot of people got that wrong. But what it really does is
they didn't understand it.
It's back to Corn Pop and Esther Williams.
Okay.
When you saw the little kids looking like, Esther Williams? Who's yeah, Esther right. Williams?
So a thing from the past that nobody knows about and don't care. And so Joe decides to quote it.
Okay. But okay. Now I'm going to go out on a limb here for a moment. Okay. Which I never do.
Well, I live out here. So welcome to my part of the world.
But you know what the advantage is of being out on the limb, Chuck?
No, I'm not sure.
All the fruits out on the limb.
Well, that's true.
How much fruit do you find on the trunk of the tree, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was quite sage, wasn't it?
It was very sage. I'll use that and give you no credit for it.
Thank you. So anyways, you live on a limb, but that's where the fruit is. Okay. When you look at Joe Biden and you look at this Esther Williams thing and the clipping coupons and the corn pop, I'm not trying to practice psychology through proxy like people did with the president. But those are behaviors of someone that is having memory issues. Because when people start to have age-related memory issues such as dementia, the memories that are most preserved are the oldest ones.
You know what? I that's fine. I understand that, and that could be a problem. However, that's not really his problem. His problem is he's unelectable. He has been from the beginning. He was unelectable two times before. He's still unelectable.
Now, and his teeth fell out,
I've
by the way.
I've never thought that he would ever be president or the nominee. What'd you say?
You do know his teeth fell out again in the debate last night.
Well, this could happen to anybody, I guess. Nancy Pelosi has that problem. Do you really think the American people understand what's going on with the Democrats and this impeachment thing? Do you think they get it, that it's bad and it shouldn't be being done and it's unfair and it's like it's Soviet style behind closed doors stuff? I mean, do you think they understand it?
Well, I'm not sure. Let me take a second here, Chuck, and you can help me out with this. What is happening right now, we'll get back to the debate here in a moment, but what is happening right now is Adam Schiff is having closed door meetings that are cut off from the rest of Congress, that are cut off from the public, that are in a sequestered, secured location in the basement of the Capitol. And these interviews are going on for up to 11 hours. Now, as an example, he's interviewing people who didn't work in the White House and were not even present during the president's phone call. So we have the transcript of a phone call, but we're asking people who have no direct tie to it to give us their opinion on it in closed door meetings. Then what we're doing is we're looking for any little, this is what Schiff's doing, looking for any little tidbit, a one sentence, a one liner that can hurt the president. And they leak that to the media, which is completely complicit in this, in this hijacking, this slow motion coup that they're attempting to do. And what they're trying to do is they're not trying to impeach the president. They're trying to move the public opinion with this. This is not about impeachment. They know they can't impeach him. So follow with me here just for a second, folks. First off, what they're doing is they're running a grand jury investigation. A grand jury investigation is for a crime. An impeachment is a political process. It's not a criminal process.
That's not exactly true.
You can impeach for a crime, but it is a political.
I know it's political, but it's high crimes and misdemeanors. Let's not get off into that because.
But you don't hold a grand jury session for a president.
No, and my point is not what you're talking about. My point is the premise behind the whole thing, and that is, the Republicans are part of the House as well. They're the minority of the House. They are totally unrepresented. Nancy Pelosi will not take a vote. Because if she takes a vote, that means that the Republicans can then cross-examine. They can call their own witnesses. The president can have a lawyer there, a team of lawyers, to listen to what's going on and respond to it. That is out the window.
I think it means more than that.
Well, this is totally one-sided.
I don't think she has the votes.
This is not a House impeachment. This is a Democrat impeachment.
I don't think she has the votes.
I don't think she has the votes either. I don't think these people who won in the Trump districts will vote for it because they'll lose their seat.
Right. There's 20 plus members of the House that are hanging by a thread.
I think they're more than that, but go ahead.
I'm saying 20 plus. Mm-hmm. And Nancy Pelosi will lose that gavel if she holds this vote.
Well, but then, you know, everybody's talking about the president says it's a, that the impeachment is illegitimate and things. Well, it is illegitimate. You have to have a vote. It has to be bipartisan. And so you have to have a vote to create the majority in order to impeach anyway. She may not even have the majority, but the fact is she won't take a vote anyway. To make it legitimate. So up to this point, what the hell is it?
It is trying him in the media. That's all this is. Is trying him in the media.
And my point is, I get that, you get that. I hope and pray that the American people understand exactly how unfair this is. Because you're watching history being made, folks. This has never happened before in the history of the country.
Here's where I think this is going to backfire, Chuck. They're not going to impeach him. So let's get that straight, folks. if anybody wants to bet you money that he'll get impeached, take the bet. Because he is never getting impeached. If anyone out there wants to make any cash bets with me that he will get impeached, see me after the show and I'll be happy to take those bets.
It'll be the only money we make on this show.
Exactly. But at any rate, he's never being impeached because, one, you can't get 67 votes in the Senate to do it. Two, I don't think she has the votes in the House to do it. Three, he didn't do anything wrong.
No, this is
which
just
is another problem.
This is really, for lack of a better word, just a smear campaign is all it is.
They're trying him in the media, and the media goes along with it.
Yeah, the media is totally compliant. In fact, they might be behind a lot of it. But, I mean, last night I was watching this debate, and I thought to myself, here's CNN. We know who they are. And here's the New York Times. We certainly know who they are. And they're questioning all the Democrats about what they're going to do. And I mean, could you have a more compliant moderators than these guys? I mean, and women, it's unbelievable. And well, what was the very last question asked?
I don't remember the last.
I'll remind you,
please.
The most important thing to end the debate with was, what do you think about Ellen DeGeneres sitting next to President Trump or President Bush watching a football game? Should they be friends? This was like, you know,
that's
riveting.
Real presidential info there, isn't
and,
it?
And do you have a friend that would be like, you know, President Trump and Ellen DeGeneres? Or do you have a friend that you don't agree with? This was the last question of the debate.
What were the answers?
I don't know. It's so inane. It's so meaningless. Who cares?
Ellen DeGeneres, by the way, answered that question fabulously.
I know she did, but, you know, did you see how everybody responded to her? It was not positive.
Horrible. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. Now, what's funny is George W. Bush also hangs out with Michelle Obama. Mm-hmm. But nobody wants to touch that one.
Well, you know, the point is, who cares? It just doesn't matter at all. It has no impact on the debate anyway. Maybe people care, you know, in the cultural world. But as far as the debate was concerned, what an inane, stupid question. But it was like the whole debate. It was so boring.
But going back to that question for a minute, though, are we not supposed to have any friends that are liberals? Are you and I supposed to cut ourselves off from anyone who is liberal?
I wouldn't have many friends if I didn't have some liberal friends.
Right. Why would you? Is that the only thing that people are made up of? Is their political view?
Well, they have tried to divide the country so badly in their minds, no, they can't.
Everything's
be friends.
Political.
Here's the point. Democrats cannot be friends with Republicans. Republicans can be friends with Democrats. But if you're a Democrat, you're not allowed to be a friend of a Republican.
No, you see what happens to Ellen DeGeneres.
That's what I mean. You can't.
I mean,
do
does
it.
Anybody
they
think
it,
that Ellen's a conservative?
Of course not.
Now, here's a better question. Is there anybody out there that thinks George W. Bush is a conservative?
Sure. I think there are a lot of people that think he's a conservative.
Because you and I know he isn't.
And thought his father was and thought, well, there are a lot of people out there who are misinformed that they believe if you're a Republican, you're a conservative. And they think all Republicans are conservatives because that's what they've been sold. But that's not true, as you and I well know.
The reality is George W. Bush is probably more aligned with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton than he is with you or I or President Trump.
Or President Trump. That's true. I would agree with that, unfortunately.
Because both President Bushes were globalists.
Right.
As well as Clinton, as well as Obama. We've had two nationalist presidents in the past, you know, 40, 50 years, and that has been Ronald Reagan and President Trump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the rest of them have been globalists.
And prior to him was Calvin Coolidge. It's a long way back there in some place.
Yeah, we get one guy every 100
years. Every 100 years, we get one guy. And he just gets pillared.
But you notice how we get this one guy every so many decades, and that one guy turns the clock back for decades,
yeah,
because
yeah.
Conservatism is that powerful.
It is. If it's ever unleashed, you know, that's what they're afraid of course. I mean, you know, this whole thing that's going on with the House right now is, I find it humorous in a way, in an odd way.
And despicable.
And it is despicable because of this. They keep talking about Russia this and Russia that and Trump or Russia and how bad Russia is and everything. And yet they operate on the same kind of communist fascist attitude and style as the Russians do. I mean, they have more in common through this impeachment inquiry with the Russians than they do with Americans. And yet they're blaming Trump for, you know, cozying up to Russia. And this, it's so inverted. This whole thing about Ukraine and all this kind of stuff, as if Hillary Clinton never had anything to do with Ukraine and the DNC had nothing to do with it, while they're out soliciting help from everybody in the world, and Trump makes a phone call, and it's just, we are living in a totally insane world, being propped up by the mainstream media, who is just complicit in all of this. We really don't have a free press. We have a
Democrat, I know, but
press.
Think about it. We've got podcasts. We have Fox News Evening.
We have Rush.
We have some talk radio. They have everything else.
Everything.
And we're winning.
Well, we are kind of.
And you know why we're winning? Because you can't stop freedom and good ideas. When you look at this, the Hong Kong. These people are out picketing or rioting, waving American flags, you demanding freedom.
I saw a picture of the rioters last night, and there were American flags everywhere. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, this was a British colony, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't there British flags flying every place?
Because they want freedom.
I know. It's stunning.
Meanwhile, in Minnesota, we have Antifa having riots that are demanding socialism.
Mm-hmm. Well,
How bizarre is this? They
have no idea what socialism is. I mean, most of the average college student doesn't even know what it is.
Well,
they just think it's some kind of social network.
The American Socialist Party now states that socialism has never been implemented anywhere in the world.
But they always say that. What they say is it's never been done right.
No, they're saying it has actually never been implemented.
Yeah, well.
Because this is the new story now. Because socialism can't function until capitalism is driven off the planet.
Yeah.
So they've never actually had their chance to show how good it is, because as long as capitalism exists anywhere in the world, socialism can't flourish. It can't blossom into the beautiful system that it is.
I never thought I'd live to see this, but the sad thing is that there are a lot of people who believe that. I think they're uninformed, as LeBron James says.
LeBron James, that great political commentator.
Everybody's got LeBron an opinion. The guy can, you know, absolutely play basketball, so that gives him a platform.
So last night, Joe Biden referred to Bernie Sanders as Vladimir Putin.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
He did. He looked at him and said, Vladimir Putin.
Oh, well, no, he didn't really. He was just looking in his direction. Then he reached
But Bernie over and said, took it as an insult.
Yeah, it's a personal insult. Joe had to clean it up and say, well, I wasn't talking about you.
And Bernie's like, he just called me Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, right. He is pretty much Vladimir Putin. If you.
I kind of am Vladimir Putin with a bad hairstyle.
Yeah, right. He's always pointing like. I feel like I'm in a haberdashery being sold a pair of shoes.
Pair of suspenders. Bernie looks like the Muppet that was designed to be Bernie Brillstein.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so the one with his partner up in the balcony.
Yes. So if you ever remember the Muppets, folks, there were two Muppets. The Muppet on the left was actually after a guy that Chuck and I both knew. His name was Bernie Brillstein.
He was my manager for a long time.
Brillstein, one of the most powerful men in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And he was Jim Henson's manager, just as yours.
And from the beginning of Jim Henson, by the way.
Yes. And Henson modeled that Muppet after Bernie Brillstein. Bernie Brillstein, yeah. And if you remember, Chuck, that Muppet sat in a glass case in Bernie's office.
Right
under the window is that case. Yeah. Bernie looks like that Muppet.
Bernie was a great guy. I love Bernie. Talk about a liberal. I mean, you know, one of my best friends. I just adored Bernie Brillstein, but he was absolutely liberal.
Another Bernie.
So Kamala Harris said last night that she wants to take Trump's Twitter feed away from him, that he should be shut down. So Jack, whatever his name is, that runs Twitter. What's his name, Jack something?
Jack Dorsey.
Yeah, Jack Dorsey said, no, we can't do that. We're not going to do that. However, here's what we can do. You cannot retweet another world leader. So this is a new rule. I heard this
you
on Fox.
You can't retweet the president?
I heard this on Fox this morning. And no. They didn't say President Trump. He said, we will not allow you to retweet anything that a world leader tweets. So that encompasses everybody, every leader in the world, including Trump.
So now if Trump puts out a tweet, we can't retweet it?
Well, that's what they said they were going to do. I don't know whether they're going to do it or not, but that was the plan.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you know about how this works. I'm not really I don't know. Trump has how many million followers?
67 million.
Okay, so if he tweets something out and they retweet that, how many people does that reach?
Well, here's the thing. He has
$1.5 billion.
So give me an example. Let's use your account. You have almost 700,000 followers.
Right.
When you put something out to your 700,000 followers, all 700,000 don't see it because most people just see whatever's in their feed at the moment. So out of that 700,000, you know, maybe 40,000 of your followers see it. But those 40,000 may retweet what you said, which will help reach your other audience. Right. So in essence, if you don't allow the president to be retweeted, you're probably going to cut his reach down by, I would say, 2 to 5,000%.
Well, isn't that the point? There is no dissent when it comes to the Democrat Party, period. You cannot, this is really, everybody says they want power. Well, what power involves is if you have power and you want it and you get it, that means that whatever anybody says against you cannot be repeated. So there is no dissent. There is no debate. There's no
There is no First Amendment.
There is no First Amendment, which is basically what Kamala Harris said last night.
Yes. And yelled at Elizabeth Warren, why won't you join me with wiping out his First Amendment? Now, did you notice Elizabeth Warren did the same thing last night that she's done at all of her press conferences? Will you raise taxes on the middle class to pay for Medicare for all? I have made it clear. Folks, you can't see what's happening, but I have my hands over my head like I'm doing a rain dance.
No. I'll tell you what, Elizabeth Warren, when you talk about her hands and everything, it's more like semaphore.
So I've made it clear that I am going to make sure that the middle class does not have an increased cost. Will you raise taxes? It's not about taxes. It's about cost. But will you raise the taxes? I will not increase their costs. But will you raise the taxes? It's not about taxes.
Of course.
This woman cannot answer a question.
Well, the point is, you know, look, Americans don't want to be taxed anymore. We have so much money going into government right now. And by the way, I want to mention something really quickly. There was a lot of talk about how they were going to improve jobs last night.
Yeah.
Well, there are
because we have a 3.5% unemployment rate.
3.5% unemployment rate, but there are now 1 million jobs out in the marketplace looking for someone to fill them. That's how good it is right now. And they're pretending like they're going to improve jobs. The only jobs the Democrats make and the only ones they provide are in government, not in the private sector.
Mm-hmm. Now let me point something out to you. So they've several groups have calculated the cost of Medicare for all. Okay.
They're ridiculous numbers. I mean, they're just trillions of dollars.
But the number that keeps coming in, so everybody's number has been landing about the same place. So
have you ever noticed when these numbers, if it's ever implemented, they're always like doubled?
Well, but let's go with the average.
With the average estimate
is $34 trillion over 10 years.
That's just for Medicare for all.
Just for Medicare for all.
Okay, now, but you didn't get college tuition in there.
No.
But you start stacking these things on top of each other, and it's $100 trillion.
But here's what I want to try to point out to people. Mm-hmm. Medicare for all will average a cost of $3.4 trillion per year. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Well, our budget's what?
The federal budget is $4 trillion.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do that.
So we will need to double
all the
amount of money going into the federal government. This is not, forget about the tuition that Chuck just talked about and the free housing and all that. Just the Medicare will require all taxes on everyone to be doubled.
Yeah. There's no way around that.
She keeps trying to say, well, we're going to tax the rich. We're going to tax the corporations. Folks,
there's not enough money in the world.
If you confiscated all the money from every individual in America who is in the top 1%. So if you confiscated every dollar from every person who's in the top 1% of America. So we're talking about confiscating the wealth from every one out of 100 people. You would get enough money to run the federal government for 4 months.
You know, this argument was made during the Obama administration. I remember exactly the same argument being made about how much things cost. And here we are making it again. And apparently it just doesn't resonate with people. I don't know whether they don't get it or whether they think it's not true, but it is true. There's just not enough money. We can't afford to do that unless you want to give up everything that you own in order to do it just about. And the other side of this is, here's a very interesting point. All the billionaires have to do, and the billionaires, and we got to get the billionaires, and nobody should be a billionaire.
They got to be made illegal.
It wasn't that long ago in my lifetime when it was, if it weren't for the millionaires and all those millionaires, then we would have, okay, now we've graduated from millionaires to billionaires. Folks, we've come a long way. People are making a lot more money than they used to, or there's a massive amount of inflation.
Yeah, millionaires just dime a dozen. So Patrick just handed me something. Charlie Kirk broke down the expenses on Bernie's presidency.
Oh, Charlie Kirk is that's not Turning Point, is it?
Yeah, that's Turning Point.
Yeah, okay.
Sharp young guy. Mm-hmm. Medicare for all, $40 trillion. He's got it in. Bernie's climate plan, $16.3 trillion. His jobs for all plan is $30.1
trillion. 70 million.
Free college is only $3 trillion. That's one of the bargains.
There, 73 Chuck. Trillion.
$2.5 trillion for free housing, $1.8 trillion for Social Security expansion, $1.6 trillion for paid family leave, $1 trillion for infrastructure, for a total of $97.3 trillion.
As I said, you're right around about $100 trillion right there.
And the budget is $4 trillion.
And quite frankly, it's exorbitant. I mean, the government really needs to be cut way, way back.
So
we're spending money on things we don't need, we don't want. But it's our money. It's not there. So it's easy for them to spend it.
So here's what happens, folks. It's the idea of having Medicare for all is a wonderful idea. Emotionally, it sounds terrific.
Absolutely.
And free college.
It doesn't work, but you know.
And free college sounds terrific. And guaranteed housing sounds terrific. And guaranteed high-paying jobs sounds terrific.
We have all these things in Spain, and we have them in Russia, interestingly enough. They're in Russia. So, and how are they all doing? They got lousy economies. I mean, they're just tore. Russia's got the economy of what? They just happen to have a bunch of nuclear weapons, but the economy of what? Rhode Island or something?
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
And now keep in mind, this doesn't count Ocasio-Cortez's $97 trillion New Green Deal.
Right. And by the way, there are a bunch of billionaires running around Russia, too, and a few in Spain, I might add.
Absolutely. Now here's the problem with it. The budget's $4 trillion. These people want to spend a couple of $100 trillion. You can't confiscate enough wealth from the top 1% in the country to put a dent in this.
No.
You have to confiscate the wealth from every man, woman, and child in the country.
I have to believe that the average American person can balance a checkbook. And if you can balance a checkbook, you can certainly understand that.
It's unsustainable what they're talking about doing.
Well, that's why it's insane.
Speaking of insane, Chuck.
Yeah.
What now? Did you watch Beta O'Rourke last night?
You know what really is striking to me? Is that Beto O'Rourke came fairly close to winning the Senate seat in Texas. Can you even imagine this guy representing the state of Texas? I mean, please, much less a president.
Of course not. But think about it. This guy lost a Senate race in Texas and spent $1 billion trying to do it.
And by the way, I don't think people know who he was until lately. I mean, he's kind of running for president has really exposed who he is. What a strange human being he is.
Oh, he's an absolute nutbag. Yeah. So he's going to confiscate your AR-15s.
Yeah, and if it takes people knocking on your door and, you know, billy clubs, we'll come
But here's
them.
The part I don't understand, Chuck. Maybe you can help me here.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I'm hoping you can.
Yeah, sure.
I need help.
Fire away.
Beto says that if he passes his law banning AR-15s and forcing a government buyback, he expects the American people will just comply.
Sure.
So my question is, I think it's against the law to actually shoot people with your AR-15 now.
Yes, it is.
So shouldn't we just expect the American people to comply?
And how many times have we said these are weapons of war? No, they're not. They're not weapons of war. They're a 22 caliber shell, a 222. It's not a weapon of war. Believe me, we wouldn't fight a war with weapons like this. This stuff comes out of their mouths and off their heads.
It's a varmint gun with a pistol grip.
Exactly.
And sights.
Oh my gosh.
You wouldn't even go deer hunting with an AR-15.
No. It's just, well, then what do we need them for?
Why don't we need them? Yeah. Why do we need video games? Why do we need cars that can go over the speed limit?
By the way,
we have a right to have them.
I'm watching Barrett Jackson and Mecham Auto Auctions. I watch these things all the time and tape them and look at them and look at the cars. And I'm thinking to myself, all these people talking about the Green New Deal, they're going to take all these cars away. This is never, ever going to happen, folks, ever. I mean, there's no way. Americans love cars. The world loves cars. It's not going to happen. They're not going to replace them with a bunch of electric cars that hit each other.
You think trying to pry an AR-15 out of somebody's cold, dead fingers is going to be a job?
Yeah, try a 57 Bel Air convertible that's fully restored.
So
and has no emissions on it.
So this is what I don't understand. If you are going to pass a law because you just expect everyone's going to comply, then why do you need the law since it's already against the law to shoot people?
Well, this is the whole thing with Democrats. It's not what's real. It's what they say. If they say it, then it's real. They don't have to back it up with anything. It's just all they have to do is speak it, and they speak it, and it's truth. Because there's no one to dissent besides people like you and me and Rush and so on and so forth, Mark Levin. I mean, there is no dissent in this country. It's very hard to get a damn Republican to dissent. Besides a few guys in the House.
Yeah, because you've got Republicans and then you have conservatives.
Yeah, right. And there's a handful of conservatives in a Republican Party.
And don't confuse them.
Well, they will because they conflate them just like they do a legal alien with legal aliens.
Now, the president, by the way, is now has a big primary challenge, you know.
Which one is this?
Joe Walsh.
Oh, my gosh. Joe Walsh. I mean, please.
So Joe Walsh, the one-term congressman who couldn't even win re-election to the Congress, who got fired from his failing radio show, is the president's big challenge.
Hey, listen, we better pick up some listeners. We may get fired from ours.
So Joe Walsh's campaign is on a fundraising tear right now. They have raised, are you ready for this? They have raised just less than $130,000.
This is just, you know, this is someone who's looking in the mirror saying, I'm great.
Okay, but this is a guy who raising $130,000 to run in a $2 billion contest.
Well, maybe he can pay off his house with it.
At what point do you look at the Democratic war chest and especially the president's war chest, because that's who you're running against, and at what point do you say, I got $130,000, he's got a half a billion, yeah, I can do this.
This is just to say I'm doing it. He's not going to do anything.
I mean, that's insane. Oh, guess who has contributed to him, by the way?
Who?
George Conway.
George Conway. George Conway is like a walking joke in the Beltway, isn't he? Except the Democrats. He?
Billy Crystal.
Oh, come on.
Bill Crystal, not Billy Crystal.
Oh,
Bill
thank
Crystal.
You. I was going to say Bill Crystal. I can understand.
Bill Crystal, he's, not Billy Crystal. Bill Crystal
of National Review, which is debunked now, and he's totally an anti-Trumper and just a mess.
Didn't his magazine go out of business?
Yeah, he did.
So that worked out, didn't it?
No.
It didn't. Laura Loomer, by the way, who's just running for a congressional seat, she's actually raised $154,000
compared to Joe Walsh,
who's raised less than
$100,000. She should run for president.
It would appear she could raise more money than he can. So, I mean, from that standpoint, I think that's on the mark.
I would contribute to Laura Loomer.
Absolutely. Mark Zuckerberg is out now recruiting conservative leaders to form partnerships with Facebook.
Yeah, what conservative leaders? Like Mitch McConnell?
Yeah.
Paul Ryan?
Well, Zuckerberg has actually reached out to Tucker Carlson.
Oh, yeah.
Hugh Hewitt, Brent Bozell, Lindsey Graham, Byron York, Guy Benson, Matt Contenti, and Ben Shapiro. So there's some good people on that list.
Shapiro's been raked over the coals lately for his anti-Trump stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, he goes back and forth, but he's a smart guy. Tucker Carlson's a smart guy.
Yep.
Hugh Hewitt, he's okay. He's a decent guy.
He's asking these people to contribute, or they are contributing?
He is asking them to come and meet with him.
About exactly what? Now, explain that again.
To discuss how to make Facebook politically neutral, how to make it fair.
You can't. I tell you how to make it fair. Give everybody a voice, period. That's how you make it fair.
You know, and this gets back to the concept that we've talked about before called Occam's razor. And Occam's razor is the philosophy that the simplest answer is probably the right answer.
Would you not disagree with my answer?
No, your answer is brilliant. The simplest answer is the right answer. Yeah. Just leave everybody alone.
Leave everybody alone and let them speak.
Right. Let's let everybody beat each other up and just stay out of it. Because these social media platforms claim that they're not publishers. They claim that they're platforms. But you're a publisher as soon as you start editing. And yeah. I think that they should lose that protection. And folks, this is a big deal, because what a lot of people don't realize is all of these social media platforms are protected from libel and slander suits.
See, here's the deal, though. Let's take a look at the New York Times. The New York Times is definitely in the tank for Democrats, as most of the media is. But they hire people to write for them, and they can hire who they want. And so they don't hire any conservatives to write for them. They only hire liberals to write for them, or people who are rhinos to write for them. Well, in Facebook, Twitter, things like that, those platforms, they don't hire any of us. We hire ourselves.
New York Times called you and I a couple of right-wing cranks.
Well, I don't think I'm a crank, but I am a right-winger.
But they went on to say that Chuck Willer and Mark Young are a pair of right-wing cranks, and then he went on to say that are oddly addictive to listen to.
Well, I hope that's true. I really do. I've never ever in my life been called a crank, but if I'm
no, you have one, by the New York Times.
The New York Times of all people.
The New York Times calls you a right-wing crank.
I remember
crank.
When people used to love me back in the day.
Chuck, by any chance, I know you watched the debate. Did you get a chance to see Hunter Biden on the Pillar of Truth ABC News?
I did. It's actually kind of sad in a way. I mean, the poor guy, you know, he was put on the board of Amtrak because he rode trains, and it was, look, this is all about selling access. That's all it is. And his dad did it, and a lot of people in those positions do it, and state and local, federal, doesn't matter. I mean, a lot of politicians sell access, and that's all his dad was doing.
So
neither one will admit it, but it's actually against the law federally, and you don't want to get caught doing it. So Joe, I mean, you heard his answer last night when Joe was talking about it. My son spoke on this morning, and that's the end of that. He had no answer for it. Everybody knows that it's distasteful. It doesn't stick well. If you're the son of an important person, then you get breaks that everybody else doesn't. It's truly elitism. And it's elitism on steroids, and the American people see it and they don't like it. Whether it's criminal or not, that's a whole different thing. They just don't like it. It's distasteful.
Were you qualified to be on the board of the Ukrainian gas and oil company?
He was, as well as anybody else, he said.
Yeah, as well as anybody else. You know, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm a lawyer, right. And I work for one of the greatest firms and whatever. I wonder how he got that job.
And I was on the board of Amtrak because I rode trains. So I was as qualified as anybody else.
It was just...
Do you think you would have gotten these positions had your father not been Joe Biden?
Probably not.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Probably not. Yeah. I mean, here's the story. If we just boil this story down, a guy who got drummed out of the military for the use of cocaine.
Sorry for that. It's on him, though.
Right. 3 months later, is offered a job to sit on a board paying $166,000 a month to advise on oil and gas in Ukraine.
And by the way, this is just one reason why Joe Biden will not be the nominee. I mean, it's, you can go down a whole list of things that Joe Biden personally, but this is, and by the way, when I say I don't fault him, it's not that I don't fault him. It is so common in Washington that people don't want this exposed because everybody does it.
I mean,
they might not put their kid on a board of your Ukrainian oil and gas company, but I guarantee you these senators and these congressmen, people are making deals that are, you know, nepotism. And I mean, this whole thing about, I remember the time when we were going together that Nancy Pelosi had something about, this was another Biden thing. Something about a credit card. I can't remember the details of it, but it was supposed to come before Congress and they put this on. Well, Hunter Biden was collecting $100,000 from a credit card company because his dad was going to have, he'd be part of legislation to do with credit cards on MasterCard or something. Then you go back to Nancy Pelosi and you can't invest as a congressperson. And when you have any kind of legislation to do with the companies that are under, you know, consideration from the Congress. Well, they all do it. They all invest in them. They all make money in a short term. They'll invest for 2 or 3 months, get out, and then go to the next one that comes up before Congress.
In a lot of cases, their husband or wife is the investor.
They'll do it through a third or fourth party, right, through a foundation or through whatever. And you never know that it's done, but they do it all the time. They don't want this stuff exposed. And by the way, they're in charge of making the laws, so they can do anything they want to do. We keep hiring them.
So Hunter Biden got a little upset when Amy Robach, the interviewer, asked him about his drug addiction.
Yeah.
And he said, "You could say that nicer to me." Well, so I was thinking she should have smiled and said, "Can we talk about your drug addiction, please, just for a moment? Is that nice enough?" It ends up that Biden has been in rehab 8 times.
Mm-hmm. Sad.
Now, it really is sad.
I had a daughter.
Drug addiction is horrible.
I lost a daughter who was hooked on drugs, and I know it's a very sad situation. It really is.
And here's the thing.
She was in rehab 4 or 5 times.
Absolutely. And she was a wonderful girl. And drug addiction was horrible for her, as it has been for other people in my wife's family that we know of. But here's the thing, Chuck. She wouldn't, and no one like that, would have gotten $1.5 billion of investment capital from a sovereign fund in China.
The only reason he did is because of access through Joe Biden, be able to say the vice president's son is on our board.
You flew to China on Air Force Two. And you came back with $1.5 billion from a sovereign fund in China.
A sovereign fund? It's from the government of China.
Yeah, it's a government sovereign fund. It's a government fund.
So it's a communist government fund that funded him $1.5 billion. Don't lose sight of that.
Now let's let's just think.
You know,
about
it's incredible, Mark. China is killing us with their own money.
Yes,
I mean they really are. I mean, when you look what's going on with LeBron James, with the NBA, I mean, forget LeBron James, just the NBA, how they bend to China. They will bend to a communist country because of our money.
I love this. All NBA players will stand for the Chinese national anthem.
Well,
that's an order from the NBA. No order for them to stand for ours.
I think it's sickening. Personally, I really do, and I find it very offensive, but that's just me.
Now, think of this. In America, we have to give the players the freedom to be able to decide.
Can we just watch basketball and watch football? Do we have to have this stuff thrown in our faces by these people
and their organization? If there's no order requiring you to stand for the national anthem in this country, why should there be a team, you know, a league order that says you have to stand for a communist country's anthem?
Because it's really, you talk about the razor's edge in the simple answer, because of money, period. It's the only reason.
It's all about money.
It's all about money. It has nothing to do with anybody
else. And when we look at this mess with Biden.
You will give up anything that you want in order to get money, in order to get money.
And look at this mess with Biden, Chuck. I mean, you've got the kid with $1.5 billion out of China. You've got him on a board at Amtrak. You've got him on a board at a sovereign fund. He's on 20 different boards that he gets paid for.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's a lot of money, by the way. A lot of money.
We're talking a fortune.
And it's probably not all going to him. Joe and his family and everybody is in are reaping the rewards from this. It just happens to be filtered through him.
Now here's where I'm going with this. Can he, as president, now remember, we were told that Donald Trump couldn't deal effectively with Russia because he once, years ago, talked about building a hotel in Moscow.
Of course, that wasn't true. I mean, none of this is true.
But he never built, he did have a conversation about it.
The point is, the arguments they use, they're already in the middle of.
Okay, so because he once spoke to people in Russia about building a hotel in Moscow, which he directly didn't have the conversations. Okay. He's a Russian asset. If Biden was the president, does anyone think that Biden can effectively deal with China when his kid is in their pocket? And think about what Biden said about Russia. Remember, come on, man, they're good people.
No, he said that about China.
That's what I mean, China. Come on, man, they're good people. The Chinese aren't bothering us.
They're no threat.
Why would any rational person say that? Unless you had an act. Yeah, because you've got a dog in that fight.
That's right.
I mean,
so you sell out your country for money. It's despicable. It's deplorable.
I mean, that's
the real despicable, deplorable stuff that's going on in this country that no one seems to face up to.
Chuck, I'm speechless. I'm horrified by this stuff.
Well, you should be, and we can only hope that the American people understand and they're horrified by it too, because they really should be. This is just being pounded every day with Trump is a criminal and all of these things and the improvements that he's made in our society, quite frankly, in our economy, are indisputable, and yet they will dispute them all.
Here's where I think this thing unravels. We're at about
calling everybody racists, and I mean, it's just horrible.
Well, you notice the racist thing is slowed down a little bit.
It'll be back.
It's lost its teeth.
Yeah, but they'll find a way. It's useful for them.
And the Nazi and fascist thing has calmed down a little bit. Because we're on to another game. Because right now we're on to the impeachment game.
Well, which is Nazi and fascist and communist in its core. I mean, it's, you know, cutting everybody out of the system. They cut Republicans out of it. They can't do anything. So it's behind closed doors. It's in a basement. I mean, you know, how I'm at a loss for words.
Here's what I think is happening. We're now standing at what? Just a little over 12 months from the next presidential election. Mm-hmm. The Democrats with Adam Schiff are trying the president in the media.
Right. Well, they're trying to get rid of his base, turn us all against him.
They're doing everything they can to damage him in the media. Here's what I think is going to happen. In politics, you're probably familiar with the term of peaking too soon.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I think they're going to peak too soon on this impeachment talk.
Well,
what's going to happen is he's a crook. He's done this. He's quid pro quo, so on and so forth. And the American people are going to say, okay, sounds like he's a bad guy. Sounds like he's done something. And they're going to start saying, why isn't anything happening? Why aren't you doing anything?
Let me ask you this with all this, because this is going to pound on forever. You know that. It won't end up until the election. In fact, if he's reelected, they'll just start it all over again. So let's put this in perspective. What is going to happen when all of this stuff with Durham and the IG comes out and we finally clip the wings of the Democrats and their whole coup of trying to take President Trump out over Russia? What is going to happen when all of that comes to light and everybody sees exactly what they did and how distasteful that was, no less criminal? Then what?
Well, if the tree falls in the woods and no one is there, did it make a sound?
So what you're saying is that it will only be on certain media and the rest of the media will not cover it.
That's what I believe.
How can they not cover it? It's all they've talked about. It's all CNN's talked about forever and MSNBC and the New York Times and Washington Post. How can they, it's not that they would resist it, but how can they deny it?
They'll ignore the story.
How? How do you ignore that?
You just don't run the story.
Well, this is not going to be just one story. It's going to be multiple stories. It's going to be Brennan and Clapper and James Comey and Strzok and Page and Hillary and probably Obama as well. They're all going to be implicated in this.
Just remember that, as an example, when President Trump was signing a piece of breakthrough legislation into law, at that very moment, CNN, instead of covering that, which Fox was covering, CNN ran a story saying, does the president drink too many Coca-Colas? And how is this? I'm serious. And what does this say about his health and his mental well-being? So over here, you've got a piece of legislation being signed.
What legislation was that?
It was the Patient Bill of Rights.
Oh, okay.
So while he's in the Rose Garden signing a Patient's Bill of Rights, which is going to save people's lives, terminal patients' lives.
Right. I remember.
They're running a story about, does he drink too many colas?
Well,
I think they'll do it. I think they'll avoid the story.
But this has nothing to do with Trump's credibility or anything else. This has to do with basically a coup within our own government that started even before he was president, just when he was running. And I mean, you're talking about the FISA courts, you're talking about the DOJ and what they did and didn't do and how everyone's complicit. I mean, this is a web of deceit that is just almost overwhelming. I just don't know how they can possibly avoid not talking about it. They may want to spin it somehow, but I mean,
they will avoid the story. And when they cover the story, they're going to call it a right-wing witch hunt.
Well, if grand juries are brought forth and people are indicted, they can't really resist that.
They'll still call it a right-wing witch hunt. They will still say that Barr is nothing more than Donald Trump's attack dog.
Well, he didn't say that prior to him coming on. They thought he was great.
But this will all be Trump seeking revenge.
Durham has worked for both sides, I believe.
I agree. But I'm telling you, this is all going to be Trump's revenge. They're going to spin this as he's using the legal system to punish his political opponents.
Oh, my gosh.
Meanwhile, they are in the process of trying to engineer a coup. Mm-hmm. It is so disgraceful.
It is.
And on that note.
And it's time. On that note, is it time to go?
I don't think I can take anymore.
You know, it is tiring. I mean, for us, we're really kind of in the middle of it. And I understand that most people aren't, you know, as invested as we are. And maybe that's why you listen to us, to get caught up, because you're busy with your lives and you should be. It's interesting to see how all of this stuff plays out and to see if we can hang on to our republic. It really is. Because that's really what we're in the midst of. We're in the midst of hanging on by our fingernails to our republic before it's taken away from us.
Covering this stuff as closely as we do costs us a lot.
It does.
It costs us money. It costs us emotional energy. Mm-hmm. It would be so much easier to turn this stuff off and never look at it. And understand why people do it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I resent the day that you got me involved in this because it's literally your fault.
I've just never been able to look away from a wrong being done.
I know. I get it. And now here I am with you.
Yeah. It's the
doing the breaststroke.
Well, it's again, evil triumphs when good men do nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you, buddy. I appreciate your time today. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Blunt Force Truth. Hopefully, we'll be encouraged over the next few days. I have to admit, our president in chief is certainly not discouraged. He just kind of goes on like the Energizer Bunny.
He is the Energizer Bunny.
Unbelievable. So try to at least keep that in mind and think about your life and what you're doing and enjoy it. And that's it for us on Blunt Force Truth. I hope you enjoyed our show today. You can get us on Podcast One, iTunes, Stitcher. Leave us a good review. We appreciate that. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Blunt Force Truth.